All right, we are live. The eighth episode of the Contractor Compass. Today, we're going to be talking about using data and analytics to improve operational efficiency and customer experience. So that sounds like a massive word babble there. We're going to break it down in more
word salad,
in more simple terms. And I think the biggest thing, today, Jace, this is going to be right up your alley too. Just in terms of an operational standpoint, right? Just being more efficient. It's also going to be right up my alley because obviously a lot of stuff that I do is automated.
Absolutely.
So what my team can automate, and obviously we're looking at this from a standpoint, once again, of to improve our operations internally and also how those improved operations as a company can improve the customer experience. So I'll let you open up, Jace, and then I'll kind of piggyback off anything. And then Tom, same, if you have anything to add, feel free to jump in at any time.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I mean, I think this is really a big topic, and this is one of the top topics. I'd probably say that in after doing consulting, as long as I did it and seeing as many companies that I have, I've ventured into well over 30 plus, majority of the time, I'd say 80 to 90% of the time, metrics isn't one thing people are focusing on. They feel it's time consuming. Some people really don't know, right? They come up through the ranks and it's not something that they thought to focus on or that would assist them in getting to where they need to go to from point A to point B. But at the end of the day, numbers are going to paint pictures for you. And that's the reason why metrics are followed and measured in any successful business. So I'd start with just stating, if you're not comfortable with numbers or you don't know how to read numbers or you don't know what metrics are or what benchmarks are, it's KPIs. Not difficult.
Yeah,
KPIs. It's not really anything. And throwing around some words and stuff, KPI is just going to be a key performance index. So we just call them metrics, right? Yeah. Whatever your metrics are with any company.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people are going to ask, well, what am I supposed to follow, right? What am I supposed to be looking at?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. We should walk through the biggest KPIs that you pay attention to from an operational standpoint.
100%.
So give somebody right off the bat, we'll give you a real, what metrics should I be looking at? Okay. What ones are they? Right.
I'm going to break this down into two categories because you have metrics that you need to look at and KPIs you need to look at that have to do with the business, like the back office. And then you got metrics and KPIs that need to look like on a standpoint of technician operational in the field. Right. And they're both two different. So when you're looking at metrics, I measure 18 different metrics and this is monthly. This is something I monitor monthly. You can see it daily, but, when I'm looking at, I'm just going to give probably the top five that you want to be monitoring that you can make a difference in your organization. So the first is definitely going to be your average ticket, right? A lot of people know that. The second is going to be, your conversion rate. The third would want to be how many opportunity calls that they're running. And what I mean by that, there's a big difference between an opportunity call and just, all jobs, right? So if somebody's running all callbacks, they don't have no room for opportunity on those.
I want you to dive even deeper. Explain that again.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and this is huge because this is where, we can go in a lot of different directions on this one, but so an opportunity call is going to be something that they can convert on, right? It's going to be your no heat, your no cool. Your pipe breaking, it's going to be your actual service call, right? So that's your opportunity call. There's an opportunity to be had.
Yep.
Your non-opportunity calls, which falls on a category of all jobs, and you'll measure that too. You say, okay, he ran 66 jobs this month, but he's actually had 60 that were opportunity calls, right? I'm going to measure a lot of my metrics based off of the opportunity, right? I'm not going to really measure the 66 I'll look at on callbacks and things like that. And that's a whole nother metrics you want to follow and track. As well, but if you're looking for performance to enhance performance, let's get you guys at least moving in the right direction first on the production side. The technical and training, you can teach that all day to limit and reduce your callbacks. But your fifth metrics that you're going to want to end up watching is going to obviously track. You want to track your revenue, your sales. So your sales for your individual technician, which is going to be their goal, quote unquote goal. I can't tell you how many companies I walk into and they don't even have a production goal for their technicians.
Yeah.
It's just something that they're scared to get into with them, and technicians don't like to hear it. Nope. So there's definitely a way around discussing that ideology with them and that philosophy.
I think
it's just it can be uncomfortable.
That's expected of them. I think is, you know, we have 75 sales and service techs at around the clock. I think they want to kind of know, like, am I doing good? People want to know, am I doing good?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you expect? And I'm going to do everything I can to most of them. Not
that's
everyone.
It. Correct. Yeah. No, that's
sorry,
it.
I interrupted Jason. Go ahead.
No, and the ones that don't want it are the ones you really don't want to keep around, because exactly. Those are ones that they know they don't exactly. want to be held accountable, right?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. And think how that flows into customer satisfaction too, right?
Exactly. Like
if they're hitting these quotas, they're solving more problems, right? You're winning
absolutely.
On both ends. But yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, so that's going to be mainly on your other side. Now, I said I measure 18 of them. So I look at sales revenue, total calls, opportunity calls. I look at things that are called WIP, right? Work in progress jobs. I want to see what's happening there. I take a look at canceled jobs, conversion. I look at memberships, how many opportunities they had with memberships, how many opportunities they converted through those memberships. How many applications did they do, Tom? Yeah. I look at to see how many finance applications they put out for that month. I check their labor rate. Labor rate's a really big one inside a company. You need to understand what your labor rate is. Your labor rate is going to be determined based off of how much they put out in sales and how much you're actually paying them total for that month. You want to keep their labor rate under absolutely under 19%. Anything above 19%, it's not really going to be profitable. That truck won't be profitable for you. And then you got your average ticket, your average estimates presented. And then you look at your total time that we pay them, total work time, efficiency. And then I look at revenue per job. So those are 18 metrics that I monitor every single month. And you just got to find a good software that can help you track all that information.
Yeah. So if you're like listening on the, you know, if you're listening back on this and you're writing all these down, and some of these you don't even know how to apply, right? Yeah. You know, Jason started by breaking it down in a little more simple format. So you can start there, right?
Yeah.
Just in terms of like average ticket, conversion rate, opportunity call, production goals, things of that nature that are going to be directly related to revenue, which is going to obviously you're going to be able to, obviously everybody wants to make more money. That's why you're in business, right? We'll also just make that operation just a little more streamlined as well if you have these things in place and you actually know these metrics. Because it's for me, it relates a lot back to marketing, just because if you don't know your numbers, you can't make decisions, right? So you have to know these things. Otherwise, you're blowing in the wind. You're uneducated, right? So in a sense, like Jason definitely has a lot more experience in terms of like tracking metrics on the actual in business, you know, in an HVAC company, in a, you know, whatever type of home service company, you know, that I have no experience with. Right. But in terms of like being able to know numbers to make decisions when there's thousands of dollars on the line every month, that you have to know. If you don't know, this sounds dumb, but if you don't know, you don't know, and you can't make decisions.
Exactly. One thing that it gets a little more involved, and that's why having someone on your team like a Jason, but starting with a cash flow analysis, like, okay, well, here's all my expenses. Here's what kind of revenue I need to make with a certain profit level to then ultimately get to a profitability state, and which backs into the number of calls. It's, you know, what kind of marketing campaign you need to drive the sales to get the numbers. So it's all very much tied in, but
yeah,
somebody like Jason can help you pull that together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then here's the big thing too. Okay. So what are my benchmarks? Like, what am I even looking for? Okay. So I'm tracking it. That's cool. So I'm tracking average ticket, right? My average ticket for my technicians. And this all depends on the field you're in too.
Correct.
But I'm going to speak to HVAC and plumbing on this one. Most trade companies, and I'll even speak to home services too on this. That means like your appliance services and things like that. Cause it's pretty close. And it will waver a little bit. And you can look all this up. The industry standard is going to say 450, right, for your average ticket. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say if you want to maintain profitability, because your technicians, to Tom's point, they will get the ones that have the drive and motivation. They'll get to where you put that benchmark. So I put my benchmark at 750 for average ticket, and I don't have technicians that fall below that much ever. I have technicians that actually blow that out of the water, and they do. Their average ticket's 1,000 or more. And that's just a service technician. So I don't want to get this confused with, well, my service tech does 8,000, 9,000. Okay, that's probably because they're selling full systems as well. So you got to make sure you understand what mix is going into that number. And because the big thing on your metrics, it's like ingredients, right? So you got to know what ingredients are going into it to know what the outcome is going to be. So if you got an HVAC tech that also sells full systems, you're going to want to differentiate his service work from his sales or replacement work. So that's a big difference, but you got to look at benchmarks. So average ticket, you're going to want to look at, I'd probably keep it right around 750. But if you got a technician like, man, I got to get them going and they're at a 450 nationally, they're doing pretty good. They're right there on the average. Yep. So work with them and tier them up and work them in. And you're going to have an incentive program. I highly advise staying away from commission. And I say work towards a base hourly tier system that increases their hourly as they hit their goals. You know, we do two, you increase ours is you increase your next tier if you hit your two tiers above your current tier 2 months in a row. I know that's kind of a lot, but you can rewind that and listen back to it. It'll make sense, I promise. But
makes sense if you don't think about it, guys.
Yeah, exactly. It makes sense. Just listen to the words out of my mouth. and then your average ticket, right? Your average ticket is 2.5. And a lot of what Colin is saying too is you got to know your numbers because numbers will paint that picture for you, for the technician you are. A lot of your metrics are just assistance, right? And it's like fitness, right? So your chest press is your main, but your tricep, you're doing tricep press down as an assisted, it's an assisted exercise to help your chest press increase and your weight increase on the main. So your average estimates, if somebody's blowing out of the water, like, well, dude, I do 2.5, right? You want 2.5 on average estimates on each call. You can do that all day long, and their average ticket is not going to go up. Yep. Well, that's probably because they don't have a really good sales pitch. So the main component is the fact of how they communicate and conversate with the customer. Metrics are just going to help you design a plan to get the individual hidden in the right direction. And you can do that a lot quicker with understanding numbers and metrics.
Correct. You just, you have a path. Now, you mentioned earlier, JC, you said, you know, get a good software to help you. I mean, this is going to be a lot for some people. Do you have any recommendations for that?
Yeah, man, I do. And it's definitely going to be ServiceTitan. It's just one of the easiest ones to use in there. And the onboarding is dog crap for sure. Everybody dreads it. That's the reason why, you know, obviously I'm going to throw a shameless plug. But people like myself, we offer services where we'll go into your company, boots on the ground. We'll help you integrate ServiceTitan, get it set up, get it going, get everybody in line, add the tags, get systems and processes with the software going. Know how to pull your metrics, your reports, because that's really big. So, and it's not just me. I mean, there's a bunch of us out there that do it, but it's just because ServiceTitan has a ton of information in your 4 week setup, your 5 week setup with them. It's just not enough time to get somebody up and going. So don't be afraid of it. If that be the reason, because there are people out there that can help you out with it. But I would definitely say ServiceTitan is one of the ones I've looked at reports between 5 different softwares, and ServiceTitan has all those numbers on it, those metrics.
Yeah. I'd have to say that, I mean, I don't even use it, right? But just from what I hear all our partners using, ServiceTitan definitely has the edge. The only other one I hear, and to be honest, I didn't even know that ServiceTitan would track all those individual things for you. So that's actually kind of awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and then even so much more.
Yeah. That's wild. That's, it's impressive because now that, I mean, there's a lot happening. I mean, it's kind of a side note here, but there's a lot happening in that software industry right now, right? Like everybody's, you're talking about how they're all tying in financing and they're all doing this. Yeah. Like, man, that they're becoming a very large asset.
Yeah, that's where it's happening, man. They're the hub.
They're sticky. Wow.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. That's it. And you know, I was just talking to another software that integrates with them. You know, and you know, you become very sticky when you start to have a ton of integrations, opposed to just relying on your own pro products, right? You start to allow everybody else to integrate with you, and now people can really customize the software to make it just, you know, a home run.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You need somebody to be able to drive that software internally. I mean,
correct.
Yeah, that's huge. That's a big one, because if not, it just becomes a really expensive paperweight.
Yes.
Do not buy ServiceTitan if you don't got somebody who's motivated to do it inside and maintain systems and processes.
Yep.
Because absolutely, if you don't utilize it the way it's designed to, you're going to have a very expensive Google Calendar.
Yeah. I was just going to say, in terms of whether you're looking at numbers for marketing or numbers for efficiency within your business, I promise you, anybody that's listening, and I know these two guys will agree, not knowing is not a better situation, right?
Not at all.
You're going to find yourself one day, you don't know your numbers, and you could have solved solutions 4 months back and you didn't.
Know before you go.
You bring your ass down the road to get a job because you can't
exactly
under, right?
That's it.
But that's funny. 100% Now, Jason, not really switching gears here, and Tom, but on the kind of the second piece too, to talk more about, yes, you're going to run more smoothly internally. Yes, you're going to make more money. Yeah, that's the thing that as a business owner you're listening to right now is probably the most important thing. But how does that relate to customer satisfaction on the back end? Like, is it just because it's a smoother process? There's less questions. There's, you know, or what is it that, how can we see that increase on in terms of customer satisfaction? It may be, and if I'm thinking about it, it may be just as simple as, they're like, damn, you guys really have your shit together.
So
this is a really professional process. We had Chuck.
That's it.
That was crazy, right?
Yeah. So that's exactly it. It's the consistent experience. Yeah. So they know if they meet Jason from Daigle or they meet, Jabbo from the same company, they're going to have the same process and experience with the individual. Now, obviously, I have my teeth and Bob probably doesn't. But outside of that, but the thing is they know they're going to have options. Right. And a lot of what I said for metrics to follow also comes down to a customer's experience. The psychological customer experience, right? Yeah. So that's the reason why a lot of these metrics are tracked, is because they've done studies. Data has come back that says psychologically, this is the buying process of a homeowner. This is the listening process of a homeowner. This is how you're going to get them to trust you as a homeowner. So this is what you need to focus on, because if they're not doing these things right, then that customer is not getting that experience. So that's the other reason why, is it definitely translates to the experience out there. But then also too, that a lot of it comes back to CYA. If you go to, Billy Bob's house, and you're that one, that prevailing guy, right? And you're like, hey man, yeah, your faucet's out, right? You fix his faucet and you're running around, his basement. One thing is, in the industry, everybody can understand this, is the minute we step in their house, they feel like we own everything. Every problem they have from then that point is now our fault. One of the big things is if you're in there, you can't be afraid. You can't have blinders on. You got to provide the option. So if you're monitoring that metric, you're training you guys to provide at least a minimum, an average of 2.5 estimates on every job. Yeah. You're going to develop a good, better, best. And then Mr. Bobby Smith is not going to be able to come, or Billy Bob isn't going to be able to come back and say, hey, when you were here, this just busted 2 weeks ago. Jason was here 2 weeks ago. This just broke. He never told me anything about it. How good of a specialist is he, right? Or how well trained is he?
Yeah.
So I'd rather have them provide the three options, and then have that be a metrics we train and teach and track, because it's going to help us on so many different fronts, from experience to even litigation or legal too.
Correct.
So.
Yeah.
Jason, 100%. What was the three terms that you used? You put together like preventative.
Proactive.
What's the first one?
Yeah. So proactive is the best one. Preventative is the second, and prevailing is the last. Kind of a tongue twister, right? You can just go good, better,
and
best.
Prevailing is like what you should do in the future?
No, prevailing is really just, it's the definition of prevailing is just what the cause is.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, I'm here for just a prevailing cause. And a lot of companies don't even, if they do have a commission base, they don't pay on prevailing. So like capacitors out, that you go there. It's just a prevailing cause.
Yeah.
Proactive is what they should do down the road and into the future. So. But again, offering those three is part of that metrics package that you're tracking for them. And it really will help your technician get better, but helps with the experience for the customer.
Yeah.
For
sure. And all these things tying together, this is how business works, but it's like, it's interesting because, you mentioned something kind of caught my ear. Is like, what if they didn't offer all these things? And how do you look 2 months, 2 months down the road if something breaks and it's like, you didn't catch this? I'm not calling that guy again,
right? Exactly.
It's like, from the mindset of the tech or the sales guy, it's like, I don't want to push it on him, right? You didn't push it on him. You're giving him the option.
That's it,
right? Give him the option, because they're thinking, oh, we don't want to be those pushy guys. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You want to be the guy that doesn't know what the hell's going on either.
Yeah. The answer is no to the question you don't ask.
That's right. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. And that's really so. And just full circle, you'll get that excuse from technicians that don't want to. They quote unquote say so. I tell people in my interview, I say a technician is a production role, and I tell them up front, we're going to track your metrics, we're going to track your numbers. and I want them to be prepared. There's a big, big difference between a service technician and a maintenance technician. And this is where people in the industry get it very confused. They think a maintenance tech is just doing cleaning services. No, maintenance techs absolutely go out. They do our return work. They turn the screwdriver, they put the motors in, they fix the faucets, they do the hot water tanks, they do the bath remodels. They're a maintenance tech. They get paid a lot less because it's not a producing role.
Yeah.
Now, our service tech is a producing role. It's a step right below a salesman. You're going to provide high-level troubleshooting, right? You're going to educate a customer, and you're going to provide options. That's what your role is. And you're to educate your process is to get them to trust who you are as an individual. And the way you do that is by having that same consistent professional experience. And you can develop that very easily by just enforcing metrics that they can follow by. It's like a roadmap for them. So that's very, very simple for that. But on your point too, you were talking a little bit as far as, I think it was them talking about, the experience of them having and having multiple options while they're there. With that being said, one of the big things is, like I said, you'll get a lot of people that are feeling like that it's pushy from an offer. But when your technician goes back 2 months later and they have a software that they can look back on the estimate that was presented, the multiples that was presented to them, they can then also talk to the homeowner and say, hey, listen, you know, Mike was just out here 2 months ago. I'm still seeing that same. It helps them identify and pinpoint a problem, so they're not fishing around and starting all over. Now everybody wants to diagnose on their own first. Always follow your own judgment, but look back and you got to teach and train that. But having those metrics that you're implementing now helps you on this front, right? You go back, Miss Betty Smith, that hot water tank is really still going, the inner rods are really out. I really highly encourage you. I know Mike talked to you about it. I just really want to follow up on that again, right?
Yeah.
It's a super easy transition, and now she's like, fine, all right, let's get them taken care of.
Absolutely.
But it's just by implementing a metric, right?
Yeah, I think it's because this is a big topic, right? Because it connects to so many things, right? We could do it so many loopholes. But I think the overall, right? If we're, you know, unless you guys have any other big points, like I think we've hit a lot of it, right? But I think overall, from a 10,000 foot view, from me looking at it, at the end of the day, if you're a business owner and you're trying to scale your company, whether it's $1 million or $40 million, whatever it might be, right? You have to, and you have an eye on these things and you have processes in place and you're like wondering, okay, why is Johnny down the road who started last year? I get calls like this all the time. Hey, Johnny down the road, I trained him how to do everything. He went and started a company. He's crushing me.
Yeah.
What's he doing that I'm not doing? Well, these may be things that he's doing, right? Absolutely. And so when things go wrong, he doesn't go to, oh, I need a new sales guy, or, oh, maybe I need a new lead gen source. Or maybe I need that. He knows the problem. He has, he goes, yes, it's not sexy. Yes, it's not fun.
Right.
to make more money, right? But it's like, if you're going to do that, you have to know these things. You might love and be so passionate about what you do. And if you sell numbers, hire a fractional CFO to do it for you.
Yeah, that's it. Well, and here's the thing too, is it definitely isn't sexy and it isn't fun. But at the end of the year, I'll put you this way. And 1 year spending with a company and implementing just metrics, because I walked in and I said, hey, what's your guys converting at? Have no clue. We're not tracking it. Okay, what's their average ticket? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you determine their raises? Yeah. Well, we, you know, attendance. Okay.
He showed up.
I said, I guess step one, man, in this economy.
Gold star, dude.
So I'm like, all right. I'm like, well, that works. I'm like, so – if we don't know what their average ticket is, we don't know what their sales are, and we don't know really much on their conversion side. I said, how do you guys determine your goal for the company by the end of the month? Like, you know, because if a business isn't growing, it's dying. There's no in between, right? And that's a Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
So, and that's very, very true. So within 1 year of implementing metrics into a company, and this is a true story because we just got our numbers back, they had went and increased $2 million in revenue in 1 year, $2 million addition in revenue in 1 year, and decreased in material costs. Now follow me, in a year, 2023, where all industries saw 15 to 25% increase in material costs. So they decreased in their material costs year over, but the increase in their revenue by 2 million.
So really, they put 2.5 back in their
pocket. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, at the end of the day, so we had decreased material costs by 2% and increased revenue. It was roughly over 120%. So, and that's just by fall in and on top of that with less staff.
Yeah.
So they had less technicians. You don't need a team. I tell this all the time. You don't need that team of 12 technicians, especially in a time where you got to get efficient and good with what you have and what you can work with. Company is laying people off left and right now, at least in my region in the Northeast. I've heard of a couple companies dropping their entire install departments. But again, people aren't monitoring what? Capacity. Capacity is another metric you got to monitor. You got to understand, okay, where's my threshold, right? I don't want to take up too much time, and I know I've been hogging this one.
No,
but
you're good.
If I know I'm sitting at 110, 120%, okay, how long can I allow my capacity to go? Meaning that's my guys are being overworked almost at this point, right?
Yeah.
So how do I make sure that I don't burn them out to lose good technicians to go somewhere else? Oh, I got to monitor that capacity and then hire somebody in. But I don't want to hire somebody in too quick and then fire them, because if I fire them, that creates a horrible culture, right? We don't want that revolving door.
Yep.
So you got to monitor capacity. So why everybody else is firing and letting people go, and now all their great technicians are coming to our company, because we held steady, holding through all 2023 with only four technicians on the plumbing side. We still did more in revenue than most companies in our area that had 12 technicians, and then they're firing everybody else. And then the thing is they get such a bad reputation, nobody wants to go back to that company. I mean, I don't want to say it's not rocket science, but it really is just something you guys are saying, it's not fun, it's not sexy, but you got to get familiar with it. And then I just want to end on this last point.
Yeah, no,
you got to go ahead and you do got to monitor your metrics for your company. So a few things I just want to run by. These are very short. I only monitor about six for the company. You want to monitor your cost of goods sold, right? That's a big one. You want to monitor your labor. Your labor rate is a big one. Like I said, keep it on 19%. Most companies, between your cost of goods sold and your labor, you don't want that to exceed 45%. So typically 13% on labor. It doesn't matter how you cut the pie, 35% on cost of goods sold. That can fluctuate on either end. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
But then you got your gross margin, your advertising, your employee costs, right? Your facility costs, your vehicle costs, and then your admin costs. And those are really the metrics. And then I'm just going to say these kind of quick for benchmarks, and you guys can write these down and record them or play this back. But like I said, cost of goods sold, 35%, a max of 48% between cost of goods sold and labor rate, 13%. Gross margin, 50%. Advertising, 10%. Employee, 16 to 17%. You can run in. Facility, 3 to 4%. Vehicle, 3 to 4%. And admin, 3%. So those are your benchmarks for your company to maintain a good, healthy company.
Yep.
To know you're on track and you're doing well. That'll help you start to fine tune some areas inside your organization, right? If your cost of goods sold is through the damn roof, and that means you have no control over your materials. Right. And either people are doing side jobs on you and you have no clue about it, or they're just fixing things in their house, or they're selling out the back of their truck. So you got to find it and you got to figure it out.
Yeah. So good practice here. Go back and listen to that. Luckily for the listeners here, you've got Jason on this podcast too. You know, does this all the time. Go back and listen to these metrics and compare them to yours and see.
Absolutely.
Right. He just gave you benchmarks for every metric he listed before that. So go back, figure yours out, right? If you need help, reach out to someone.
Absolutely.
And you know, just kind of try and figure out where you're at. Don't let it intimidate you. Start with the big ones, you know, figure out the ones that matter the most, whatever that may mean to you. And like I said, obviously the ones that are mentioned in this call, I'd probably focus on. I know Jace had a list of like 18 at one point in time, but you can probably narrow that down a little bit.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
But, other than that, yeah, that'd probably be best practice just at the end when you finally get to that point where you're like, hey, well, maybe I should start paying attention to these things. That's why I haven't grown in 5 years. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're not, that's it. I mean, if you're not growing, you're definitely dying. Yeah. I hate to tell people that. Don't hold on to something that's dragging it down. If you're at 10 years, you got membership set up, sell the company, right? You know, if not, and you're like, I just really can't handle this, I don't have no kids that's going to take this over, position, you got to focus on your metrics, right? For any attrition to happen, somebody is going to have to come in and, or not attrition, sorry, acquisition to happen. Yep. Somebody's going to look at your numbers.
If you're in that position and you know your numbers and you don't have any kids to take it over, call us.
Yeah, right. There you go. And that's exactly what you want to do, right? Because companies are needing that to happen. And there's so many of them out there because a lot of people bring me in at last ditch effort. And they're like, dude, I'm probably going to sell in 5 years. Don't tell nobody. Yeah. And then all of a sudden 1 year into it, they're like, I'm probably going to keep it. You know, I'm not doing so bad. And I'm like, all right, that sounds good. And I tell them all the time. I was like, I'll take a percent. Right? Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I ain't got a problem with it. And, you know, you hold the liability, I'll take the percent. We'll continue to grow. And I promise you down the road, you know, somebody will take the company over. So.
Well, if you're talking about that, I'm dealing with quite a few PE firms these days, and they're all, you know, offering to buy companies at a certain EBITDA. And most people think the EBITDA is a part of a wash machine. So
that's funny. Yeah.
But, so, you know, and the more that especially if you're thinking about selling down the road, the more KPIs you have, the more data that you have. You know, when you go in and like, okay, well, what's your average ticket? The things that you were bringing up, what's your EBITDA? You know, the quicker you can spout that off, the more reliant, they're more assured that they are that, hey, this guy's got his stuff together and, let's take a serious look at buying this business from this man.
Yeah, if you guys don't have that, that's nobody's gonna look at you, right? You have that's like not even
because to your point, that's your books, right? That's painting the picture to somebody who wants to buy it. That's the metric sheet, the info sheet, the spec sheet.
Yep.
Right. So you have to know. It's not fun. It sucks. I get it. For me personally, I this is what I'll say hands down. To help anybody, bite the bullet, get a good software. If you're at that point, you got to track. Buy ServiceTitan. You can hit me up. I can show you how to find and track all these metrics very quickly.
Yep.
But again, the software is only as good as the people inputting the information. So it's not magic. It's not the AI yet that's doing it for you.
Correct.
You got to put the information correctly. And if you don't put it in correctly, it's going to spit out the wrong reports. You're going to get the wrong numbers. So, you know, it's just a full circle. But get ServiceTitan. You can track 18 metrics super quick, super easy. And then just have an eye on your P&L. Here's a little tidbit I'm going to give to everybody again, tracking metrics. Here's a little note. Don't ever have your accountant be a family member.
Absolutely.
If you got your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, or somebody running your books and they want a piece of that pie, I'm just telling you, I've seen too many books cooked. I go into companies and they're like, hey man, yeah, we're not doing so well. And I'm seeing $50,000-$60,000 a year missing off a book, and I know exactly. You hide it in materials, everything. So if your materials are through the roof, it's probably because your sister is funneling funds to her bank account.
Everybody loves mom, okay? Everybody loves mom, but don't let her run your book.
Yeah, let her run your book.
A lot, man.
Just hire.
Still, yeah. He works for the business. She does most of the money stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not? I love my mom too, but she doesn't do my
business. Yeah, I mean, you can have your wife do it because if she's hiding money, it's probably for a good cause.
Yeah.
Don't have your sister or your mom or somebody or your brother, right? I've seen that, man, that fallout. That's a tough man. Awesome. So if you are going to go into a partnership and, you know, find a third party.
Absolutely. Cool. Tom, do you have anything else to add? People buy payments, people. That's what he's got. If you're listening to Spotify or an iHeartRadio or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're at, that's what Tom's telling you right now. So go out there.
Yes.
If you need financing, you can reach out to Tom here.
I love it.
I think this was a really good, because of the business I am, this is not a commercial, but I talked to a lot of upstart HVAC companies that can't get consumer or commercial financing because they're not 2 years of business, $2 million top line revenue. And they come into it. They need somebody like a Jason that can help them set up for success because, you know, their accounting department is a shoebox in their back office or something.
100%.
And the data world that we live in, oh my gosh, it's so important that they understand what KPI is and the different
factors
that they need to be watching. So I think this was a really great episode, guys. I
agree.
Part of
100%.
Thank you both very much for having me.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, you know, guys, we're going to log off here, but baseline here is improve your operations, right? Know your numbers, make more money, be better to your customers, serve more people, grow your business, and you know, wherever that may lead you. So
episode
8, that's what we got. We'll see you next time. Contractor Compass.
Have fun.